Greetings and welcome to the Beyond Earth show. I'm your host, Ray Trujillo, and thank you so much for joining me on this beautiful summer day, the year of 2025, July 12th. And today I have a very, very, very special guest, a dear friend, family friend, and soul brother, dearest Sam. And Sam, please say hello.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be here and speak to your audience. So, very excited. It's a very great day.
Yes, it's a great day. And Sam happens to be here on this lovely journey with us. And there is a great deal of spiritual insight. And as a spiritual communicator that he is, in the most divine and purest way, I thought that it would be fitting for all of the Beyond Earth audience members to get just a snippet of some of the wisdom that he has to share with all of us. And so we're going to just cover some various topics today and just delve into some, perhaps some things about astrology and how the pertinence of it is in our world today and how it can extend into the future, of course, of humanity and other topics, of course, that you are so well spoken about. And so, yes,
Oh, well, thank you.
proceed. Yes.
So I don't really have any type of setup plans. So it was just kind of have the natural conversation about things and anything you
Right.
want to talk about or ask questions about, you're
Sure.
welcome to. So
Thank you.
just kind of keep it a natural conversation
That's always the best way.
is the best way. Yeah,
The flow.
didn't really bring an outline or anything. Just talk about things as naturally as they come. But first of all, I would like to talk about God and what I've been taught about God and who He is. God is the creator of all things, which many people already know that. And that is correct. He's the creator of all things. He has omnipotence and He's eternal. He is the life giver to all that exists, all the creatures and all of creation itself. And he is one God. He is not, he's a God Father. He's not multiple gods or a figurehead of different kinds or branches. He is just the one Father God, and everything else that comes from him and everyone else is the creation. And that is who God is. And he resides in heaven and he's eternal. And he is omnipotent. He is limitless in energy and power, intelligence. He is magical. He's a magical, wonderful being that gives us life, life that no one else can give, and where no life comes from nothing else besides him. And it is a great thing to be alive. It is a miracle. Everyone is a miracle. Everyone listening is a miracle. We are all miracles of his direct hand and direct creation. And it's a wonderful thing to be alive and to exist. Now, many people wonder what the purpose of life is, and that's a very good question and subject, because there's a lot in this world that is confusing and disillusioning, misleading, misguiding, disheartening, sad in a lot of ways. This world is very oppressive and paints a can paint a sad narrative to life and existence, which is, of course, false life. And our life is to serve God. And the truth is, our life is to serve God and to accomplish for Him and spread the truth. So your life is about the truth and it's about service. And the reason why God made us, people will wonder why is there anything? Why what's the point of existence, or why did it come about? What was the impetus? And the reason is God created us to love and be loved, to love him and to be loved by him. And that gets into obedience. He gives us laws to obey, to love him. He gives us a free will, but that free will is to be used according to his laws and basically according to his free law, his free will, to obey him and love him. So, our will can be used out of bounds of what is acceptable to God or unloving, and which garners punishment and correction, which as imperfect beings we all go through at times. But all has to be looked at as learning experience and a growth experience to become closer to God. And it's important to understand that, in the big picture, that is oftentimes taken as the world, our lives on earth, but that is not the big picture. The big picture is, of course, God himself, but heaven specifically as it relates to us, and the spirits in heaven and the way it was, which gets into the next thing, which is the fall from heaven. And the fall from heaven was real, and that happened. And Lucifer is real. The Lord is real. The angels and demons are real. All these things, as they were told, happened and exist. And the devil, and Lucifer is real today. And so are the demons, and so are the angels. And the reason why the world is so bad is really driven by them. And there's this, the way humans can look at themselves as they look at the world and see that it's so evil and say, okay, this is human nature. We're very imperfect beings, prone to sin, prone to evil, prone to selfishness, prone to all these harmful things. And that's ostensibly the case. You can look at that, and maybe some philosophers or neutral observers might say that, this is the human condition, and because of human weakness, it's so prone to evil and selfishness. But that is not exactly the full story, because there are spirits in heaven, including the saints, of course, the angels, that don't sin. And so the what they are compared to us as the human, specifically the saints in heaven compared to humans on earth, are the same humans God created. And their state on earth, our state on earth compared to their state in heaven, they're still the same beings God created. And so you really have to put it in the context of that and a perspective. Of course, you have to put in a perspective of beings you've never seen before, because we don't interact with the saints, but they are sinless people, and the way of what heaven was before the fall. And of course, the angels are always perfect in heaven. And so these beings that God made, human or celestial, celestial being the angels at various levels, are all perfect and correct and loving in God's kingdom that we fell from. And we were all part of that kingdom at one time before evil. And we will return to that after evil. Evil is not something to be thought of as a human affliction or a condition that is to be lived with forever. That is going to be permanent, because we are finite beings, that we think maybe lends itself to that, and it's always going to be part of our condition. And that's just not true, because it was not the case before. And it will not be the case again. So the correct way to look at yourself, for everyone, is kind of in the context of what the world is and the product that it makes us by its bad influence, but not let that determine who we are as beings, but more of an affliction of what this world puts upon us. And it's an affliction of evil, the evil powers that rule the world, and specifically the demons and Lucifer, these powerful fallen angels who are much greater than humans in magnitude and intelligence and power and all these. They're really dangerous. They're very powerful. They're fallen angels, and some of them are the amongst the most powerful beings God ever created. So their magnitude is, I like to compare to, as a reference, like Greek gods or the Roman gods that people were familiar with, and if you could actually imagine those as actual beings, living beings, they would be much more in line of what angels are like and what their relationship would be to humans or the interaction. You know, we are very small as humans compared to them, and that's okay. You know, it's not a point of condescension, but it is very important to also know who and what you're dealing with as antagonistic forces in life, and why things are the way they are, and why people are the way they are, and why they're so, the world and cultures and societies and civilizations are so given into evil, whether it's exploitation, harm, attacks on each other, war, hatred, isolation, racism, robbery, everything you can imagine, all the evils, attacks on each other, just all the forms of hatred instead of love, and human abomination, and of course also occurring upon the planet itself, that drives what we know to be our world and our people, that we've come to identify, self-identify by, as a human condition and human nature by it, that is really dictated by what's the forces that are upon us. If you understood the forces that are upon us, the negative forces that are upon us, specifically related to the demons that are on Earth and rule the Earth, like Lucifer did and Satan did, that there's many biblical references to, and even Satan appearing to the Lord and saying, you know, I can offer you all the kingdoms of the world if you follow me. Well, he can only offer them if he had them, right? And so he's very much in the high demons are very much in control of everything, in control of the humans that are in control. And it's that's the spiritual truth of the world, and it's the truth that it's always been. So that's really dictating the narrative of the human experience of what life has been since our civilization has existed. And even the case before, you know, past civilizations that we have no records of, but this is the truth. And once people can understand the truth and the spiritual narrative, this picture of the life situation, everything makes more sense. And I think they can humans can understand themselves better, and maybe with a little bit more patience, understanding, and love. Well, when they understand how much affliction they are under. So when the fall happened from heaven and material creation was formed, and God picked the earth to carry out the redemption, which the Lord was here for, which is you know, well known. It's well known. The Lord's life is well known. And also the many biblical figures, prophets that were on the earth, also well documented. And the story of that, or the picture of it, is that on top of being the redemption, is also where God decided to carry out basically the resolution of the battle between good and evil. So when evil was sent out of heaven and into the third dimension, at some point God sentenced all the demons, which are all the demons that left, or the fallen angels that left heaven during the revolt, were one third of the spirits. And it refers to that in the Bible. Revelation, though, speaks of the one third of the stars from heaven fell, and that refers to the angels, one third of the angels from heaven, that became corrupted, and they were sentenced to earth. So we have a tremendous affliction of what we're dealing with that people from other places would not have to deal with, or wouldn't have to deal with normally on earth. Everything has to be really put in the context of that to understand why earth is so bad. and why the civilization is the way it is, and why it's so polluted, and all the things that are wrong with it. It's really has so much to do with the dominance of their influence on Earth, and really they were at the heart of setting it up. Lucifer was at the heart of setting up the civilization that is spiritually known as Babylon, referred to as Babylon, that has been since the beginning of Noah's time and his descendants, and that's spiritually what it has been as it's carried forth since then, since the flood. And the corruption that came from that, and the implementation of all the things that were put in place societally to control and harm and manipulate the people and get them really, really to corrupt them. It was so much about corruption, leading them to the wrong ways. And they've been very successful with it. And all this has happened seemingly by human reasons or human causes, but the truth is that there's much more to the to life and to existence, to the reality that is unseen and seen. We are like the last level of awareness and, say, creation in a lot of ways, on the human level, on the materialistic physical level. We are the we are in the receiving end of everything from the spirits, and for good or for bad. And there's also, I don't want to exclude the angels' role in this, and they are also very good and very benefic. They are our recourse and our blessing to fight back against evil and the demons. And they are our best friends, and they are awesome beings. They are godlike beings. When I say godlike, not like God himself, because God is infinite, but if you imagine a finite being, that would be gods to us. Like gods like the Greek gods or Roman gods, again, it's power like you cannot imagine. And millions of times, it was anywhere from thousands to millions of times greater than humans, from what I've been told, depending on the level of angel. And they are our saving grace. They are our champions and benefactors, and they are everything to us, positive and serving God. They want nothing but to serve God and bring humanity to God and God to humanity and repair all the damage that has been done by evil, eliminate evil. And they are the reason why we will eventually succeed. By humanity will eventually overcome evil, much to the grace of God and the angels and the beings that God sends to do his work. So it's going to be a positive outcome for humanity long term, even though it looks pretty dark right now. But it will change, because ultimately what's going on is a battle of wills, of good versus evil. But that takes on a context of the beings on which the good and evil reside. And the good resides with God and the angels and good humans, of course. And then demons, and then who they're, they're human agents, they're evil human agents and vessels also. But nothing overcomes God. And God is omnipotent even over his own, all his creatures. He made them, and they're finite. He is not. He rules, they don't, and they will be defeated. And I mean, God is so powerful, he could blink all evil out of existence, all the evil beings out of existence, all the demons out of existence. He could just blink it out of existence. And the reason why he doesn't is because he loves his creatures, and not that he supports evil, because he doesn't. He's perfect and he loathes evil, but he allows it to help his creatures, as fallen creatures eventually come back to him. And he knows the future, and he not only does he know the future, he makes the future. And The future is God's. He owns the future. And he writes destiny. He does everything. Now, within destiny, there's also free will, because God did not make us beings. If all we did was by destiny, then we would have no free will. And that's not the case. And that's not why God created us. And it'll actually defeat the whole purpose of him creating us, because our free will will be overridden. So there would be no love and being loved reciprocation. And it would just be God loving himself through the forceful actions of what he created. And that wouldn't really make a lot of sense. And that's not the case, and it's not the dynamic. We do have free will. We are also partially destined. Half of life is destined, half of our being is destined, and half is free will. So God has the destined part is God's free will, and the free will part is our free will. And those two coexist. At the times when there's destiny at play, destiny takes over. And there's no, and that's a good thing, because that's God's will at work, and God's will towards our benefit and creation's benefit. He has creation. He has, excuse me, he has a destiny for creation. He has a destiny for each of us as a whole of creation, forming the whole of creation. And it's a beautiful thing. And we should be very happy about it, that life is half destined, because it's only going to be good, only going to be beneficial, only going to help others, help ourselves. Help God's work, help God's cause, help us get to heaven. And this is God's benefit, gifts. Really, I look at destiny as a gift, the gift of God's blessing of his perfection and doing what he wants to do. But it's always perfect and great, divine. And we try to do our best within our free will, but oftentimes people will fall short. But God's destiny helps the whole move closer to him. God will not accept his creation moving away from him in some type of indefinite pattern left to their free will, because that could easily lead to them never coming back, or evil never changing. So, from their present state, or overcoming their own corruption. So, and God won't tolerate that. Just he's going to fix it. He will fix it, and it's in the process. Along, in keeping with God's, excuse me, in keeping with people's free will. So he will correct them and he will guide them back to him, but they ultimately have to do the work themselves. But he will never let them fall so far away that they never come back. That was not allowed, and that won't happen, because God doesn't will that. God wills for all his creatures to be with him. We are his children. He is our father, and that is very much how he looks at us. And refers to himself. He also refers to himself as the Almighty, the I Am. Refers to himself as God, but he is the Almighty, and he is the I Am, eternal being, omnipotent being, almighty being, that all his creatures must answer to. And he rules, and he rules in perfection, and he demands it. But people can be good. People can be like the saints of heaven and can return to that. And they do it through the truth. They do it through love and following his God's laws, acting upon his truth, serving others. And I want to really talk about service and how important service is, because it's really the basis of life and basis of their existence. So when I said that, God made us to love and be loved, which is true. He made us, love is something, is an action. It's an action word. Love, to love. Being loved is to receive an action. Even if it's just a thought, but it's still an action of some kind, or of course, a physical action also. But all the forms of love are something in motion. There's a motion to it and an act. And service to God and service to others is love. When we're acting in godly service, when we're acting in godly service to God, acting in godly service to others, which he wants us to do, which is his children, all people are God's children, according and the angels too. That he does that because he orders that because he loves his children, he loves us, and that's the dynamic that he wants. He wants us to be loved and love his children. So the same dynamic that we share with God, he wants us to share with each other. He demands it. He orders it. He commands it because his children are so precious to him.
That's beautiful.
And he can't stand them being hurt. Cannot stand them being hurt, and it's an abomination to him.
Right.
And
And that's the power of unconditional love. That strength to endure that and to make the sacrifice for all, for the greater good. To one day prevail over all evil.
that's what the Lord's life was, and that's what the prophet's life were. And all spiritual beings, anyone who came down here to do God's work, that's what they came here for. And that's what they did. And they lived it. And we are to be the same. Everyone is to be the same in that role. And we can't necessarily do all the things that the Lord did. We're not asked to necessarily perform miracles, but the example to live by God's word, to live by actions of goodness and the laws of God. Building good karma with everyone. Karma is a real thing.
Yes.
Karma is a law of God. Karma is what gets you into heaven or does not, or sends you to hell, or neither, depending on how you are judged. You may just go back to the spirit world, but
Right.
karma is really the everything of life. It's the currency of life in the afterlife. Everything you take with you, as far as your spiritual record and everything you've done, also including your book of life of all your lifetimes, summation is all really a karmic expression. And that karmic value is the determining factor in where you go. So everything regarding the hereafter is earned. It's not prayed for. You don't go to heaven because you believe in certain things that give you an automatic ticket to heaven. That's not how it works. It's not true.
It's action.
It's action, and it's the value of the actions of love.
And the intentionality behind it.
Yes. So it all starts with loving mentality and service. It's belief in someone saving you is not how it works. The Lord does never taught that. It's not real. It is all about what you do and your earnings before God. Everything is standing before God is about earnings before God. And God is the way God judges is, his perfection is simply this. It's a reflect. He mirrors your life. He said, I judge you by this. Here's your mirror. This is what you did. This is what you earned. I'm judging you. I'm giving you what you earned.
You get what you give.
And I'm giving you back what you gave me. And it's just a mirror reflection of exactly what you did. Just like there's laws and in this world that people can understand. You commit a crime, this means X amount of years in jail. Or you do this, and maybe it's a slap on the wrist or whatever it is.
Precisely.
And that's exactly how the judgments of God and the spirits work. You'll be judged probably by the angels, but
Yes.
like people mostly. But that's how the judgments work, and that's how the afterlife judgments work. And the sentencing, if people go to hell, they're not going to hell for nothing. They're going to hell for something regarding their crimes, spiritual crimes before God. Whether their crimes on earth or not, or how they're regarded by humans is indifferent. The crimes before God are decided by God, and that's there's no other input is needed or exists. So God says he's the absolute judge and deciding factor of who goes where and for how long based on what they do. And so karma, life is really karmically based. Because life is karmically judged. And that is the truth. And it's not really a, has nothing to do with religion. It's just what is. That's something that I think
As a universal,
it's universal.
yes, it's a cosmic universal aspect.
It's not nothing to do with beliefs. It has to do with reality and the way God judges. And God is perfect. You know, everything functions within the perfection of God. God functions within the perfection of God. So when you want to, whether a individual or a society or a civilization warrant something, they earn something by what they do, they actuate the hand of God either in their favor or against them. And as we know, throughout most of the history we have, it's against them. But and that's it's absolute. It is absolute. And God will always act according to his perfection because he's perfect. He has to. He has to. His perfection demands it. He cannot break his perfection. He cannot make exceptions because of his perfection. He will never contradict himself. He's not, that's not possible. He will never violate his perfection because his perfection doesn't allow it. He is, he'll treat everyone the same, and it's always going to be according to what they earn. So, you know, to have a close relationship with God, which most people I would think would want to, takes place through moving closer to God themselves. They have to decide, I want a close relationship with God. And that's praying for it is good because you always want to act in prayer, and you always want to attract the help of God, number one, enlist the help of God. You know, beseeching God is a great thing. And the angels, because the angels can also do great things for you in your life also. And then God will do things for the angels to help you also. So it's good to ask your angels for help. But you pray to is God. You pray to God for help, and how he wants to give it is his prerogative. It's his choice. But he will. He wants all his children to come back to him. So if you come to him in good faith and with a good heart, he will reply in kind. He will surely move in positive ways, powerfully positive ways in your life, bringing the right people into your life, bringing the right, hopefully the right knowledge and opportunities, because he wants you to be with him. So that is his, he has an agenda, and it's to bring all his people back to him, all his children back to him. So he wants that. He is biased in that way towards his own wants, as he should be. And so when your wants align with God's wants, that is when, you know, all the harm, self-harm because of bad karma, self-harm of bringing bad karma into your life starts to dissipate, and you replace it with good karma and blessings instead of punishment, you know, constant punishment and failures and sorrow and dismay and sadness. It starts with the karmic change of realigning yourself with God's will instead of fighting God's will or thinking you know better or no different. That's just self-delusion. And that is leading yourself into all kinds of sadness, self-afflicted sadness. And it's self-produced. And because of delusion or misunderstanding or ignorance, all of which are bad, but there's a lot of reasons, and sometimes all the reasons combined that contribute to are getting off the wrong path and going the wrong direction. And but it's all repairable. It's all fixable. And you know, no matter how evil anyone is, you never lost cause. Some people, I have family members who talk about, you know, I'm not good enough, or I've done too many bad things to make up for it. You know, it's like it's all over for them, and it's negativity. It's negativity that is
Like
not.
they've conceded into that deeper realm of negativity.
Yeah, and in some ways, they've, you know, they're conscious. You know, they look at their, you know, they're conscious. You know, they're not stupid. You know, they judge themselves. You know, I've done some bad things. You know, I've done, you know, I'm a lost cause, or again, there's no coming back from this. You know, this is bad. You know, so in some ways, they can judge their actions for what they are, and it's bad, but they go the wrong way with it and say, you know, I can't overcome this, or either can't be forgiven, or you know, too much.
And you are what you think you are.
too much of a reprobate or something to be repaired or beyond hopeless cause kind of situation. And people can get overly negative towards themselves, which is also what the evil spirits want. They
Yes.
want, well, they want you to give up on
They want
yourself.
that self-degradation and also the self-sabotage, and they want you to believe that there's no repair when God wants to provide you that hope that there's redemption, there's salvation, right?
Right. And
There's always hope.
who's pushing all this negative stuff
The
on the,
dark side.
is it the same spirits that
Yes.
are, they
The
want you to
loop and
think this, and they're the
hangman.
ones pushing it. You know,
Yes.
it's all
Like,
negative.
yeah.
You know, so negativity is a bad thing. You know, negativity is, can be evil. It can be very evil, or lend itself to evil. You know, it lends itself to evil thinking and negative thinking. I can't change, and fear, you know, and cynicism, self-cynicism, and you know, what's the point of living? Why is the earth so, you know, everything just
Right.
overwhelming, and I give up, and whatever, you know, whatever it is that people think, and they can get into this kind of downward spiral of sorrow and hopelessness and fear, just overall negativity that, you know, nothing can be successful. What's the point of trying? And you know, none of that's going to lead to a successful life, and it's not going to lead to you getting out of that hole.
And the energy of fear attracts even more darkness.
Sure. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy kind of situation. And you start thinking negatively, like, oh, bad things are going to happen to me. And they, you know,
Of course,
magically they do, because you're bringing them.
you're bringing it towards you, you're magnetizing it.
And so all that is bad. And the world doesn't help. I mean, the world is a negative place, and the world doesn't care. And the world is a very selfish and individually driven, and everybody versus everyone else. And it's spiritually a mess. It's very, very bad. It doesn't, it's not here to support people spiritually, and it was never created to be that way, but because the evil powers were behind it. So
Well, the evil powers are also behind it because the evil powers know just how much potential this third dimensional realm of planet Earth has. And so that's why the darkness and the Luciferian agenda work so hard to try to keep the positive and the angelic realm diminished and minimized in this unseen, but now even more seen battle, right? So because there's so much potential here for greatness and goodness, and that's I believe the darkness just wants to take it and make us believe that it's a selfish world, it's a cruel world. And while it is become that way of throughout many decades and eons, right? Whenever there's man involved in the chaos and the calamity, there's always going to be that kind of epic duality. And you see the dichotomy of good and evil being expressed. That's when Satan's time, like Helen said, is alive and well on planet Earth, but then also it's running out at the same time.
it is, and that's a great thing. And
Yes.
it's, why is it running out? Because Judgment Day is coming. Mainly,
Right. Yeah.
Judgment Day is coming, and Judgment Day was a real thing. The Lord talked about it 2,000 years ago. He said, "Yeah, we're in the last, you know, last times, last hours," and that was 2,000 years ago. So that puts us
We're
that
in
much
that cycle.
closer. We're
Yes.
on the precipice of
Yes.
good, you know, good things going, good things coming,
And we're
kingdom of
also
God
in the
coming.
middle of our grand solar minimum, which is our 12,000-year cycle, where there's events that occur, and we're in that synonymous aspect of that as well. So there's the rebirth here,
A
as
lot,
you know so
yes.
much about as you're speaking of.
It's a lot of
But I'll leave that to you to
it's an exciting time, but also a
yes.
very dangerous time. It's
Yes.
going to be a lot of change, all for the better. You know, a lot of rebirth, a lot of breaking down of what is now, and regeneration, and including mindsets, including spirituality, awarenesses, knowledge, truth, the presence of truth in the world. It's going to be all different. And it's coming with the Aquarian Age, and it's not a coincidence. It's God does everything through, you know, astrological forces too, and it dictates his timing. A lot of his destiny is going to be related to the astrological changes, because that's part of the timing. Destiny is through the timing of astrological forces and the astrology and what's moving. So, you know, specifically to the Aquarian Age coming, and.
Yes.
But the Aquarian Age is going to wipe out all the lies. You know, people are wondering, why is there evil? Why did this happen in the first place? It's like, why did Lucifer get corrupted? And why did it all start? How could people get corrupted? How these great beings get corrupted? If they're in heaven, where everything's perfect and great. And it was, but what happened with Lucifer was, he's this almighty, or excuse me, very mighty, powerful being created by God. And with him and the Lord, they were ruling creation, and they were ruling everything. And but the Lord was number one, and he was number two. And he's not as great as the Lord, not as great in power. If it's And what happened was, Lucifer got tired of taking orders, and even though the orders were coming from God, and so he basically got sick of taking God's orders, and he started telling himself lies. So what I don't have to do this. No one tells me what to do. I don't have to, I have to put up with this. The Lord thinks he's great. I'm not scared of him. I can do my own thing. And
The defiance and superiority.
it started, his evil started sneaking in with the lies. So, lies are really what
The
drive
root of
evil.
deception, yeah.
And the self-deception, it all stems from lies. And once the lies come in, the lies feed selfishness. And the selfishness now it's I'm the priority, and the priority over everyone else. So when that happens, selfishness is, you can say, the root of evil, but the root of selfishness is lies. So the poisoning of Lucifer began with lies. It began in his mind.
Manipulation.
Self-manipulation,
Yes.
the manipulation of, there was a time when there was
Delusion.
no evil, and then
Right.
these lies snuck in, and the lies gave birth to evil, which gave birth to the selfishness that gave birth to the evil. So that's the root of evil, and that's the genesis of evil, was the lies leading to the selfishness, leading to the evil
Right.
that became proliferated in the most ugly and awful way in heaven, that causing the fall, causing the war, that is still the war. We're still in the war of heaven. It just spilled over into the physical creation and material creation. It's always been the war of good versus evil.
Yes.
And it was the war in heaven of good versus evil, and now it's the war of good versus evil basically throughout all creation.
Right.
And and that's really why creation, that gets into why creation even exists. Physical creation, of course, heaven already exists, but everything that was outside of heaven was created as in a response from God to Lucifer revolting, kicking him out of heaven, and then what God went forth with as his plan to return everyone to heaven was. Started at the with everything happening through the establishment of physical creation and all the dimensions. There's many dimensions, but that is what's going on, and why all this exists, and why we reincarnate, and why we have lives, and why there's a physical world, and why isn't everyone in heaven, and why is the world evil? It all comes back to the revolt from heaven and Lucifer's selfishness and evil. And starting with the lies. So, how that on our little microcosm of our lives and the planet, the congruency is that, all the lies, once the lies get dispersed, and our own lies that maybe we believe that hold us back, once all that gets dispersed, including the lies about evil and why it's so, at times can be preferred or desired, it's because of the lies. That we of lack of understanding, or lies that maybe we tell ourselves, of false narratives of why it's desirable, that end up coming back and say, oh, I wish I didn't do that. And the harm that it causes is where you learn the reality of it. And then the truth is always, there's a truth of evil, just like there's a truth of all things, there's even a truth of evil. And the truth is understanding it and experiencing it, the nature of it, and the truth of it when you do it. Or when it happens to you, that is not what you thought it was before. And once people can start to learn not just the truth of spirituality, but also the truth of evil, and which is also part of spirituality, because you're learning what not to do and learning the truth of it, so it holds no power over you to influence you in the wrong direction, for you to build a bad karma and drive you away from God and cause your punishments and cause the sufferings. And those are kind of indirect things, but also the direct things of how it drives people out of your lives, or hurts people around you, things of that, and also, and then of course the karma connected to that. But there's many factors of evil, and we experience it and learn some of that. Why it's not to do it later after we go through it all in the hands-on experience. But there's also the intellectual part of it, of why it's empty and why it's harmful to us, our souls and our minds, and why it's so good to get away from it, to avoid further degradation. All evil causes damage to our brain, or to our specifically to our
Oh,
minds.
yes, it does.
And so that damage then further opens us up. Once you start warping the mind, it opens us up to more of the warping effects of evil. And when you look at Lucifer, who's the most evil person, yet he was so holy at one time and so powerful, and he still is very powerful, but not like he was.
Morgenstern, the morning star.
He's damaged. He's warped. His mind is warped because evil has warped him to the point where evil has overtaken his own free will. And he's just completely beholden to his own evil. Like it's like a parasite that invaded and took over. And so he basically lost his free will. It's impossible for him not to be evil. Like he has no choice anymore.
And one of his greatest tricks, remember this, is that he convinced that there's no such thing as evil, right? To many. One of his greatest tricks was to literally
We're not.
deliver that falsehood that,
And there's no
that
such
he
thing as
doesn't
him.
exist,
Right, he doesn't
right?
exist anymore.
And then to, so there's that amount of that deception from the father of lies, right? Into the father of manipulation and false promises and all of that. But that just has bears for the proof that lies and the evil and falsehood are a decomposition in itself, right? Where the life force of God, the life force of the angelic realm, of the saintly realm, gives blooming of life and like Lazarus, like brings life back and pause its life back into what was formerly decomposing, right? So
Yes, and it's important for people to understand, the harmful effects of evil and bad thoughts, as well as and thoughts. Thoughts have are either good and evil. So, and but they can also be thought of as healthy or unhealthy. And just like how food or different things that you do in life are healthy or unhealthy and harm your body, harm your mind because of it, that we're all well aware of. Such as heavy drinking or something like things that are very well known
Destructive
that are disruptive to the
and
brain.
anything in excess. And just look at Dr. Masaru Emoto, the secret language of water, right? If you look at the beautiful, if you play the Ave Maria or like a beautiful Tchaikovsky or Chopin or Vivaldi, the molecules will form a beautiful symmetry, right? But if you play or if you say negative evil things to the water, it forms in a different functionality.
And people or
And that
people
happens with
energetically are
him.
that, yeah,
And that
people
happens
are
with
the
him.
water. People are
Right,
water. People have
exactly.
energy. And it's very important. It's very important for people to understand and with awareness and have spiritual awareness, energetic awareness, that everything around them influences them, good or bad. It has positive, negative effects. Everything they eat, everything they think, all the people around them, what they're doing, all has effects on their aura. And that. And their energy and your energetic beings. We're energetic beings on the fundamental level. We are even these bodies that are physical are still a condensation of energy on that they're all light. It's all a condensation of light and energy,
And embodiment of that.
and we are not our bodies. And it's very important for people to understand they're not our bodies, because again, that's false and leads to a false living and a false life. False path of a life where you're exalting the physical, and so much of the worldly is like that. Worldly is all about, how much money you can make, how big of a house you can live in, what kind of worldly exploits you can have, and all the worldly glories, whatever they may be, fame, fortune, all these things. Praise me, let me give me all these things that I can adorn myself with, and comforts of life, and the glory of public, prominence and how much I'm loved by the people or whoever.
What is the intention behind it? It's all about the intention behind it.
And but how does any of that serve God?
Right. So, was
And
there anything in closing? Because we're coming to the end of our transmission for today's show. And was there anything that you'd like to part the audience with?
I knew this was going to be a quick hour.
Yeah, I
I have
know,
a lot to
right?
say.
Yeah. Well, we'll ha be happy to have you back again.
Oh, I would love to be back. Starting to be aware of yourself, self-aware of what you're doing and how you're living, and living in God awareness, living in a karmic awareness that everything you do has ramifications, value, whether good or bad, and that your loving actions are what get you to heaven or stop you from getting to heaven. And that is the need to be the mindset of how you live life. And that will bring you to God and bring God to you. And He will love you for it and get what that original relationship was supposed to be.
Well, thank you so much, Sam, for joining us today. And we really appreciate you here. And I hope everyone of the Beyond Earth audience has a wonderful rest of your week. And it's Ray Trujillo, your host of Beyond Earth show. And I'll bid adieu for now. Auf Wiedersehen. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Thanks again.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.